All right, let's turn in our Bible to the book of Psalms. We're going to go to chapter 33, Psalms 33. Stand, if you will, for the reading of God's word this morning. We're going to be reading responsively verses 18 to 22, Psalms 33, 18 to 22. We'll be reading responsively. All right. Bible says, "Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death, and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart shall rejoice in him, because we have trusted in his holy name. Let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us, according as we hope in thee." And let's pray. Heavenly Father, now I pray that you just tender hearts to this message. Holy Spirit, I pray you go before and work in each and every person's heart to tender it. Lord, I pray that you just anoint our preacher's lips now. I pray you give him strength. I pray, Holy Spirit, you fill him with your power to preach. I pray hearts and lives be changed this morning. And Lord, I pray you have a message through your word for each and every person here. I pray people leave here a little different than they came in, Father, having maybe made some decisions at the altar, Father God. And I just ask that you work in people's lives now and fill our pastor with your power, Lord. We thank you, Father, for your holy word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Miss Dolly, for that. Going to be another unique message, I think, for me for our Sunday morning. I hope it'll be a blessing. I know a lot of you have been praying for your preacher. I've been a little bit under the weather the last few days, but we are going forward. And I'd ask you to pray with me this morning as I'm trying to keep my head clear a little bit. But I want to be a blessing to you. I want to talk to you this morning, and the title of my message is Happy Birthday, America. Happy Birthday, America. This morning's message is a birthday message to the greatest nation in all the world, America. We ought to recognize the fact that we do live in a great nation. We ought to recognize the fact that we have men and women who are not afraid to fight for our freedoms and for justice. We ought to thank God, by the way, for them men and women. I was with my family some yesterday and our friends and so forth, and we were down on the Cape some yesterday, just a beautiful, beautiful day, and I got to do a little bit of fishing, enjoyed doing that, and I was sitting out there on a rock, kind of throwing the casting, if you will, not catching a thing, but seaweed. I was doing very well bringing in the seaweed, but just a very beautiful day, and I couldn't help. I was just standing there just praising the Lord for the freedoms that we have. We get to enjoy that beautiful weather that we had yesterday. We get to where I was at that time, the salt water, the ocean, and the beauty of his creation, and we get to enjoy that and the freedom of being able to do that, by the way. We live in a country that still allows us to get up and go worship the Lord, a God who created us, who spoke this world into existence, a God who sent his only son, Jesus, to die on the cross to give us eternal life. That's the ultimate freedom, by the way, is through his son, Jesus Christ. The God who provides and is always with us every step of the way. Our country is blessed because of the almighty hand of God. We should never be negligent of that. We should never forget about how good God has been to us and to this great nation. So this morning, I want to recognize for a while the birth of our nation. I want you to, however, to be thanking God in your heart for this great nation, for the freedoms that we have. We ought to get on our knees and thank God for a country such as ours. You know, some cannot enjoy freedom like this. This morning, somewhere in this world, not so much in the United States yet, I should say that. It's not happening in the United States, but there's some in this world this morning that cannot get up and enjoy a church service like this and have the freedom of the doors being open. There's some that can't enjoy this, but we can. We don't have to meet in an underground church this morning. We don't have to sing quietly the songs of the faith. We don't have to preach softly the unsearchable riches of Christ. We did not have to, as we got up this morning and got our family together to get into the car, we didn't have to hide our Bible so that people wouldn't know that we were going to some religious service, if you will. We didn't have to hide our Bible as we ventured on our way to church this morning. Our church doors could be opened freely without opposition of any force outside. We still have the freedom to sing loudly the songs of the Lord, the songs of praise. We can cry aloud the preaching of the cross. We can sing aloud the songs of Christ. We can cry aloud the blessings of God. We can cry aloud the preaching against sin. We can get up on Saturdays or any day of the week for that matter and knock on doors freely and tell people about the precious gospel of Jesus Christ. You may have noticed that I did use the word still in some of them, because let me just say this, even as we have our freedoms now, they are, I believe, being slowly diminished and being taken away. But let me just stop and say this. I think if Christians would get on our knees again and pray, I know if Christians would get on our knees again and pray, that you know what? It just might be that God would go ahead and withhold any freedoms being taken away if we would get our act together again. If we as Christians, the saved ones, the ones that know for sure are on our way to heaven, if we would go ahead, get on our knees and pray and thank God again for the freedoms that we have. Thank God again for the preaching services that we can attend freely. Hey, you know what? A lot of it is up to us. But this morning, I want to wish the greatest country in all the world happy birthday. Came across an article. I kind of measured it up or fixed it up a little bit to fit this service here. But I came across an article this week as I was preparing. I want you to listen for a few minutes as I read this. Happy birthday, America. You were 233 years old yesterday. That's a long time for a nation to remain free. But when you take a long historical view, you're just a child among the nations. For instance, Egypt, China, Japan, Rome, or Greece, they all had much longer histories, but not so free. Happy birthday, America. You have a rich spiritual history that continues to influence us today. My Country, 'Tis of Thee was written by a Baptist minister, Samuel Francis Smith. The Pledge of Allegiance was written in 1892 by a Baptist minister, Francis Bellamy. The Pledge of Allegiance, that is, the words "In God We Trust" are traced to the efforts of Reverend W.R. Watkinson. Reverend John Witherspoon, a Presbyterian minister, was a signer of the Declaration of Independence. So America, happy birthday. Your entire history has spanned only four generations. For instance, when Thomas Jefferson died, Abraham Lincoln was a young man of 17. When Lincoln was assassinated, Woodrow Wilson was a boy of 8. By the time the nation mourned the death of President Wilson, Ronald Reagan was a boy of 12. But even though you have a short history, God has richly blessed you. You are the richest nation in the world. Your natural resources are still the greatest of all nations. Happy birthday, America. You have learned your lessons well. You see, these lessons began by breaking free from British shackles. You survived a civil war that nearly cost you your national soul. You fought and won against two foreign enemies on soil not your own. You stood against aggression in Korea and Vietnam. You kicked some desert sand in the face of a two-bit dictator in the Middle East, and later you defeated that dictator. Happy birthday, America. You are a great nation with a great history. When you were very young, a famous French political philosopher, Alex de Tocqueville, visited your shores to learn the secret which enabled a handful of people to defeat the mighty British Empire. He traveled your vast land from shore to shore, looking for greatness in your harbors and rivers, your fertile fields and boundless forests. He studied your schools, your military, your Congress, your Constitution, but still he could not find the secret. It was not until he went into your churches and heard your pulpits aflamed with righteousness that he found the answer. When he returned to Europe, he wrote this warning: America is great because America is good. And if America ever ceases to be good, America will cease to be great. Happy birthday, America. You are great because you are good. Because you are good because you are still opening the doors to other lands, remembering that you are made up of those who came to these shores searching for freedom and opportunity. You are great because you are still the most generous of all nations, giving untold millions to third world countries and aid. We are sending American missionaries to foreign lands to preach the precious gift of Christ, that is salvation by grace through Jesus Christ. Happy birthday, America. You've learned that greatness is not measured in silver and gold, rivers and forests, or even bombs and missiles. Greatness is an inner quality found in what we are rather than what we possess. So happy birthday, America. The noble lady in New York Harbor stands proudly with her flame lifted up for all to see. A gift from the French, she still inspires even those of us who were born here. Happy birthday, America. Your flag waves proudly in the free air, a symbol of all that makes you great. Whether at a ball game, a political rally, or a church service, she still sends a chill up and down our spine. So again, happy birthday, America. Your currency still carries the motto, "In God We Trust." And may we learn to transfer that motto from our coins to our hearts. Happy birthday, America. I read, of course, a while ago, that last phrase, "In God we trust." I know they're trying to remove that ever-important phrase. Of course, the world is trying, society's trying to strip God of every avenue in our world today, in our public life. But that phrase, "In God we trust," is so very important. We must transfer that phrase from that coin that we carry in our pocket to our hearts. So this morning, as I read a few scriptures, as we go over a few scriptures here that we read a while ago in Psalm 33, I wanted to see some principles that it would do us all well to observe this morning if we are going to survive as a free people and a blessed nation and be blessed of God. How does our nation get back to "In God we trust"? Let me just say this. Our nation today needs to get back to saying "In God we trust." Not in the world, not in a pocketbook or the money that we put in a pocketbook, not in a job, but it is "In God we trust." And what does our nation need to do to get back to that phrase, if you will, "In God we trust"? Number one, we need to get back to reverencing God. And I believe, first of all, it needs to start with us, though, however. You know, unfortunately, our reverence, our awe, our respect that America once had, by the way, has kind of been very much so diminished, if you will. But you know what? If America is going to go ahead and get back to reverencing God like we used to, like she used to, then you know what? We as Bible-believing Christians, we need to go ahead and ourselves get back to reverencing God. We need to lead by example. No, maybe it should be the other way, but we have the truth, and we know the truth that has set us free, and we know what is right, and we need to get back to reverencing God. We need to put God back in His proper place. That's what America needs today. The Bible says in Psalm 33:18, "Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear Him, upon them that hope in His mercy." Verse 18 talks about protection. Verse 18 talks about God looking upon those that fear Him, those who hold Him in awe, those who respect Him, those who reveres Him, who sees Him as the Holy One. And America needs to get back to lifting Him up. But let me say here, the crowd in church here this morning who knows the truth, we need to get back to lifting God up again. Pride has infiltrated our country. Pride has infiltrated our own hearts. We have pushed God out of our public life. America's literally a nation that once looked upon God has slowly turned her back upon God. And the very God that gave freedom, the very God that provided liberty, the very God of justice, we have gone ahead and literally turned our back upon God. We have pushed God out of our public life. We have turned our back on God. Christmas has been changed to a holiday, not Christmas anymore. They're trying to take Christ out of Christmas. Public schools can no longer pray to God without suffering consequences. Churches are losing its attendance, therefore having to close its doors. And the church building, which used to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ, the church buildings that used to preach, the pulpits that used to be aflamed with righteousness, that preached the old-time religion, that preached soul winning, that preached the Word of God, are slowly but surely closing their doors because of a lack of attendance, because of a lack of a people that do not care. Therefore, the churches are falling apart. Therefore, the churches are becoming a social hall, a place where God is no longer preached. Why is this happening? Because we've lost our reverence and our respect for the Lord. We do not fear Him, as the Bible says. That word fear means to tremble. It used to be that America would go ahead and tremble with the thought of being judged and punished by a holy God for our sins. We call sin a disease today, but we don't call sin as it is. And that, by the way, sin will be judged. I turn to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4, verse 11. The Bible says, "For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow, and every tongue will confess." Hey, the world can go ahead and turn their back upon God. But let me tell you something, world, those that don't care about church, those who don't want to listen to the gospel message, those who don't care about God or anything, let me tell you something. The Bible's true, and every knee is going to bow, and every tongue is going to confess to God one day. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 2, the Bible says, and I read here verses 9 through 11, the Bible says, "Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, every of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Let me tell you something. Hey, God has the last word, my friend. We can go ahead, even as Christians, we can go ahead and push God away. We can push Him out of our homes. We can get nonchalant. We can live so as by fire, if you will. We know we're on our way to heaven. But where is God in your life today? Is church as important to you as it once was? Is your Bible reading as important to you as it once was? I believe if we're going to go ahead and stir America up again, it's going to be through her churches. It's going to be through you and me this morning. It's going to be us getting excited about the things of God again. It's going to be us getting fired up about the things of God again. It's going to be us getting excited about our salvation again. You remember the day when you met Jesus? You remember the day when you got saved? You remember the day when you realized that you were a sinner? You realize there was a price on sin, and there's nothing you could do to go ahead and pay for that sin. But Jesus, you realize that Jesus, He went to the cross, and He paid for your sin through every drop of His blood. And you realize that you could only count on Him and trust Him, and you call upon the name of the Lord. You ask Jesus to come into your heart, and you realize that day when you got excited, you were excited that day. You were happy that day. Boy, it felt like a whole burden was lifted off you, because the weight of sin and the weight of guilt was lifted off you. You don't have the threat of hell anymore. You've got heaven as your eternal home. You remember the excitement of when you were born again. But you know, I know it's so easy. I know the old devil, the old trickster, likes to go ahead and throw things in the way to kind of help us lose our joy over the things of God, to help us lose our joy over our salvation. Boy, we need to get excited again. Stop listening to the wiles of the devil. Stop listening to the devices of the world. Stop listening to the devil this morning. Hey, what we need, if America's going to remain free, I'm talking about the church houses, we need to get back to reverencing God and putting Him in His place again. We need to, as Alex de Tocqueville eventually found, that great French philosopher found, that he found the secret to America behind the pulpits at that time that were aflamed with righteousness. Hey, listen, he didn't find it in a political party. He didn't find it in some White House. He didn't find it at the Capitol. He found it through the preaching of the Word of God. Hey, let me just say this. You know, America used to tremble with the thought of being judged and punished by a holy God for our sins. America used to tremble at the sight of the almighty acts of God. America used to tremble with joy at the knowledge that people were getting saved. You know, it's still joyous to me to win someone to Christ. It still excites me when I see a little boy and girl who has no chance in the world, but a faithful soul winner, went by on a Saturday, knocked on a door, and that little boy, that little girl came on the bus, if you will, and came to a Sunday school class and saw the puppets and heard the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit of God was stirring in that young heart, and that little boy and girl, boy, raised their hand at a preaching service in a junior church, and they got saved. They wanted to know for sure they're on their way to heaven. Let me tell you something, that excites me, church. That still excites me. That still excites me when I can go out door knocking and tell a lost person who doesn't know anything about the Lord, who has never heard the gospel plan, who's never heard the precious gospel of Jesus Christ, but it still excites me. It still thrills me when I can go ahead and fulfill the Great Commission, and I can go and tell a lost and dying world and knock on a door and find a young lady, a young man, a teenager, a mama or a daddy who wants to know Jesus as Savior. And at the end of the day, they pray. They ask Jesus, come to my heart, their heart, and they're saved. That still excites me when people are calling upon the name of the Lord. We need to get excited about telling people about the Savior. We need to get excited about the Word of God. We need to get excited about spreading the Word of God. We need to get excited about soul winning again. We need to get excited about seeing people saved again. We have lost our respect and reverence to the very God who spoke this world in existence and has given us all hope for a rich eternal destiny through his Son. We have lost our respect in the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Hey, but you know, I do believe. I'm sorry, I'm a little bit warm. I need to keep wiping a little bit, so hold on. But I do believe that if America, I do believe, still can be saved. Now, this morning, I'm not preaching doom about America. We live in the greatest country in the world. We still live in the greatest country in all the world. I thank God. I was thanking God out on that shore the other day as I was casting away in my own heart. I was saying, Lord, thank you for my family. God, I thank you for my salvation. I thank you that tomorrow, meaning today, I'm going to be able to get up and preach the unsearchable riches of Christ again. I thank you, God, for the privilege of pastoring. I thank you for my people. I thank you, God, for my children. I was just going on thanking, and I was thanking God for America. I was thanking God for the freedoms, and I was naming the freedom of worship, if you will, the freedoms that we could get to go to Faith Baptist Church each and every week. I thank God for that. I thank God that for the fact that I got to go out on Friday. Several of us got to go out on Friday, and we got to knock on some doors spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. I thank God for them freedoms, you know, but I believe that if America is going to go ahead and remain free, if America is going to go ahead and be what she ought to be, if America is going to go back to trusting in God again, in God we trust, it might be that we as Christians, we need to get stirred up again. We need to hold God in the place that he so deserves. We ought to think of him throughout the day. We ought to, first thing you do when you get up in the morning, you know, I know the first thing by habit, the first thing I do after I wake up, first of all, I thank God I'm alive. Amen? But I do, in my mind, I say, God, thank you for another day. I love you. Before I leave, it's in my mind. Before I leave the room, I say, God, thank you for another day. I love you. And then I go about, and then I get to my Bible reading, and I thank God. I thank God for all the freedoms he's given us. But you know, I think that if we're going to go ahead, if America is going to go ahead and trust in God again. You see, America's full of pride. We have stuff. We have a lot of stuff. We have a lot of good things. I'm not against stuff. Don't misunderstand me. I'll say more about that in a moment. But the truth of the matter is sometimes we've allowed the things that the world has to offer, and by the way, not all bad things, keep us from being where we ought to be. And we become prideful. And sometimes we kind of go ahead and allow the things that the world has to offer. And again, not all bad things. But they become bad when we go ahead and we replace it with a thing, with God's time, with the place that God wants us to be. We'll talk more about that in a moment. But our culture in America today, unfortunately, has seemed to cross the line from respect to outright blasphemy to God. You know, God is laughed at today. You go out soul winning in any particular time, you take a stand for Christ, you'll be laughed at. His house is laughed at. People, believe it or not, do mock at what we're doing this morning. His holiness is mocked. Hollywood has even made movies depicting that our Savior, our precious Savior, is a homosexual. It seems that Hollywood has had a heyday in trying to degrade the name of Jesus. But let me just say this about Hollywood this morning. Hollywood, every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess. Hollywood is such a strong force today with some of the films and the shows coming up out today. It is no wonder that we're having trouble sometimes in raising our kids for the next generation. I'm talking about the next preachers of tomorrow. I'm talking about the ones that'll stand and preach righteousness of the next generation down the road. I'm talking about those who lift up the banner of the cross down the road when I'm dead and gone. Mom and Daddy, when you're dead and gone, but we need to infiltrate the right things in our kids and so forth. But if we're not careful, you know what, Hollywood can go ahead and mess up our kids' minds if we don't watch over what they're watching. We ought to be careful with what our children are watching. You ought to know what your kids are watching on TV. You say, preacher, are you against TV? No, I have a couple of them, but let me tell you something. I dead sure know what my kids are watching. There's so much that comes out of that box today, and I'm just placing a warning to you today. You may agree or disagree, but I think you can all agree with this. Not all of it's good that's coming out of that box. If not most of it, a lot of it is bad. And that's why, Mama and Daddy, you have a responsibility as godly leader in your home. You ought to be watching. You ought to know what your children are watching. You need to know what they're looking at on that TV. Some of the shows today, they show a disrespect of authority and bad mouth parental authority and other authority. And you know what? Once you see that, boy, you ought to shut it off. You ought to shut it off. Oftentimes, some of the sitcoms today that used to depict a family relationship, a mama and a daddy, maybe little Johnny and little Susie, but oftentimes the father is the one that looks like the buffoon. The daddy of the home looks like the crazy one, if you will. Your child ought to know, you ought to know what your child is watching. By the way, what your child watches on TV, ultimately, if not gone ahead and slapped down and taken care of, they will do. You see, they hear the words that maybe they ought not be saying, that you tell them you shouldn't be saying them words. But if we allow them to be watching it and hearing it long enough, they'll slip up and say it. They may just say it on purpose. Some of the acts that we see on TV today that is immoral and not right, and we allow them to go ahead and watch it, let me tell you something, that messes up their mind. It's going to mess up their mind. And Mom and Daddy, you ought to have control of that box. I'm not necessarily preaching, get rid of it, but let me just say this, if you can't control it, that might be a good solution. That might be a good solution. A Hollywood mentality can affect a home in a negative way. That's our culture in America today. Our churches today are oftentimes filled with a lack of reverence to God. I've seen some churches today that you can't even tell the difference between a church house like we know it and a local bowling alley. I've seen churches today where it sounds like sometimes it's a rock concert than a place where we can come worship the Lord. The music has changed. The preaching of the old-time religion has changed. The precious word of God has been changed. God is referred to loosely today as the big man in the sky, the big guy in the sky, or the big man upstairs. But you know what the Bible calls God? The Holy One. You know what the Bible calls God? Almighty God. You know what the Bible calls God? Alpha and Omega. You know what the Bible calls God? He's the creator of the universe. You know what the Bible calls God? He's the everlasting Father. You know what the Bible calls God? He's the rock of ages. Hey, we need to get back, church, to recognizing who God is. And I think if we would go ahead and we'd stand for Christ, if we would go ahead and we'd recognize who God really is to us, it just might be that we can go ahead and pass that on to our great nation. Hey, Jude referred to God in these words when he closed his book, Jude 25, the Bible says, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion, power, both now and forever. Amen. Came across this letter high school girl wrote to her friend who had invited her to church. Talk about the church right now for a minute. I attended your church yesterday. Although you had invited me, you were not there. I looked for you, hoping to sit with you. I sat alone. A stranger, I wanted to sit near the back of the church, but those rows were all packed up with regular attenders. And an usher took me to the front as I felt as though I was on a parade. During the singing of the hymns, I was surprised to note that some of the church people weren't even singing. Between their sighs and yawns, they just stared into space. Three of the kids that I had respected on campus were whispering to one another throughout the whole service. Another girl was giggling. I really didn't expect that in your church. The pastor's sermon was very interesting, although some members of the choir didn't seem to think so. They looked bored and restless. One kept smiling at someone in the congregation. There were several people who left and then came back during the sermon. I thought, how rude. I could hear the constant shuffling of feet and doors opening and closing. The pastor spoke about the reality of faith. The message got to me, and I made up my mind to speak to someone about it after the service. But utter chaos reigned after the benediction. I said good morning to one couple, but their response was less than cordial. I looked for some teens with whom I could discuss a sermon, but they were all huddled in a corner talking about the newest music group. My parents don't go to church. I came alone yesterday hoping to find a place to truly worship and feel some love. I'm sorry, but I did not find it at your church. I won't be back. And if reverence for God is going to return to our nation, it's going to have to start with us. If people are going to get excited about the church house again and about the preaching of the Word of God, we too need to get excited about it. We too need to allow the Holy Spirit to come into our, to stir our hearts. You know what? Let me just say this. Church could be a whole lot, and I'm not saying it because I'm the preacher, but you could get a whole lot more out of church if you get up in the morning, Sunday morning, and say, okay, God, give me something. Sometimes we're just too busy for that. We come and whatever reason you're here, I thank God for you and I'm thank God you're here, but how often we just come, I fulfilled my duty. And don't misunderstand me, if that's why you're here, I thank you that you're here, but the truth of the matter is, you know what, you could get a whole lot more out of your Christian life, you could get a whole lot more out of the preaching, you could get a whole lot more out of the music, if you'd say before you went to church, or on your way to church, or get your family together before you go to church and say, God, give us something in church this morning. Give us something that's going to sustain us. Give us something that's going to give us strength. Hey, you know what? If reverence is going to return to our nation, it's going to have to start with us. It's going to have to start with us getting excited about God again. It's going to have to start with us about getting God back into our home again. It's going to have to start with us about getting God and making God the main thing, if you will, the main person in our life. And number two principle that I want you to learn in this matter of in God we trust is not just get back to reverencing God, but we need to get back to depending totally upon Him. We're a spoiled nation. The Bible says in verse number 21, for our heart shall rejoice in Him because we have trusted in His name. You see, we shall rejoice. Our heart will rejoice. We can get excited again if we start trusting in Him again because we have trusted in His name. We need to get back to depending totally upon God. As I mentioned before, we are a spoiled nation. We are a spoiled society. We have stuff, but because we have stuff, stuff has kind of turned us away from God. And again, don't misunderstand me. I'm for stuff. Boy, if you have a nice car, if you have a nice home, if you have a nice, if you have a little bit of money in your pocket, if you have a four-wheeler, if you have a snowmobile, if you have all that stuff, I'm not against it. But why don't you go ahead and use it for God? Why don't you go ahead and instead of allowing the stuff pull you away from the place you ought to be for God, schedule your time to use the stuff, but don't allow your stuff to be replaced. Don't let God be replaced by your stuff. You know what? We do have the best car. America does produce the best vehicles in the world. Hey, we do have the best food. We have McDonald's. Some of you are saying amen. Some of you look at me like, what? We have Longhorn. Amen. We have the best food. We do have prosperity. We have the finest jobs available. We have nice homes. We have a little bit of money. We have our four-wheelers. We have our boats. We have our snowmobiles. We have our 2-3-4-car garage. We have our sports events. We certainly are a blessed people. And you know what? Let me just ask you a question. If God has blessed you with all that stuff, when was the last time you said, God, thank you? When was the last time that you said, God, thank you for my vehicle? You know, I wonder, instead of us complaining about the vehicle we drive, I'm preaching to the choir for a minute, I'm preaching myself. But instead of us complaining sometimes about the car that we drive, maybe because it has too many miles, maybe because it's just not running the way that we want it to run because it's got too many miles. You know, it might just be if we become a thankful Christian again. Say, God, the car is not exactly what I wish it could be. God, I thank you for my vehicle. You know, I just happen to think that if we would go ahead and become thankful again for the things that we do have, God might just say, you know what? That Christian's being obedient. That Christian is thankful. That Christian is reverent to me. That Christian is totally relying upon me. You know what? Because he's delighting myself in the Lord, I think I'm going to go ahead and give him the desires of their heart. It just might be. You say, well, I don't think anybody's just going to go ahead and drop off a new car. Oh, I've seen things happen like that through the years. And the truth of the matter is, you know what? If we become thankful about what we have, it might just be that God says, hey, you know what? I want to turn around and I want to give them a blessing. Hey, what I'm saying, we are blessed. We really are ultimately. I'm not against the things that I mentioned a while ago. I'm not against one bit, but you know what? I'm against stuff, as I mentioned before, when they replace God. Well, we need to look at our things, if you will, in perspective. America's gotten spoiled. We do not really need anything. You know, America, you go back to the history of America, and I'm not going to take a whole lot of time here, but you know the men of old in America, you know what? You know how America was established? Hard work. They rolled up their sleeves. Character. A work ethic. Getting up, going to work, and making something happen. We've been established, if you will, by an old-fashioned work ethic. We enjoy the freedoms because of some brave men and women who saw our freedoms being trampled on, who saw us pushed to our limits at times, and they were willing to put their life in jeopardy for the cause of freedom. It's amazing, some of the interviews of our soldiers, men and women, who have been to Iraq and back, irregardless of what anybody thinks of the war. We're at war, and we've got to win this war. But I thank God for the men and women. And let me just say this. There's probably a few. I was watching a television program on Fox News the other night, and there was a man being interviewed, a former soldier being interviewed, a young man. His car was bombed. The Hummer that he was driving was bombed, and he lost his leg, literally did much damage to his leg. He'd gone ahead and he went to Germany, had some surgery, then eventually went back to Bethesda and had surgery and so forth. And now he's running some marathon and so forth for the military cause and along the lines there. But he was asked this question: if you're able to go back and fight for your country, would you do it? He said, yes. That's the kind of character we have in America. Let me just say this, I thank God for America. You know, I say this with a lot of emotion. I really thank God for the brave men and women that are overseas protecting our freedoms today. Well, you know, it wouldn't hurt you one bit if you see a soldier, and maybe they might even just have a hat. They may not be all decked out in their uniform, but you know that they were a veteran. They walk by you every so often, you ought to say, stop them and say thank you. They'll say, what are you saying? Because I see that you're a veteran, I see that you served, and I just want to say thank you for serving America. I've done that a few times in my life. And it's opened up, by the way, it's opened up a few witnessing opportunities too. Remember when I was washing windows, when I was in Maine, I had a side business along with the ministry, and I was washing windows at a Hannaford store. And it was this older veteran came through, and I knew he was a regular, and eventually I got to talk to him there. I was just going about my business, and he had a hat on, and he was telling me about how he fought in World War II and so forth, but he's seen me several different times. He was always pleasant, said hi, but I never got a chance to talk to him. And I said, sir, I want to say thank you. He was just walking out. I said, sir, I just want to say thank you. Turned around and he came back. It has some electric doors. He went out and I was afraid, and he turned around quickly and I thought he's gonna get hit by that door. It's kind of, you know, because anyways, you had to see it, but he kind of stepped back in real quick. I said, phew, but anyways, I said, I wanted to say thank you. He said, why are you saying thank you to me? He says, you know, I said, I see you come in. Every week I'm here doing the windows. Every week I see you wearing the same old cap. And it was referring to what he did, his military. And I said, I want to say thank you. And he says, you're welcome. I told him why. He says, you're welcome. You know what? I got to witness that man. That man got saved. You'll be amazed. But the truth of the matter is we ought to go ahead and thank God for our military and for the brave men and women that are fighting for our cause today, for the cause of freedom. We certainly do live in a land that's got the bravest people in all the world, of truly the land of the free and the home of the brave. But America's lost her dependence upon God. Why did the pilgrims come to America for religious freedom primarily? They were persecuted. But it seems like we have left that reasoning. We've left that in such a big way today. Happiness comes when we're dependent upon Him. We need to get back to praising the Lord. We need to get back to allowing Him to have control of our lives again. Pride keeps us from trusting God. Pride keeps us from trusting Him in the battles that we go through, in our struggles, in our disappointments, in our heartaches, in our illnesses, in all the trials that we face at times. But if we would just go ahead and get back to depending on Him, real joy will come. I preached on this last Sunday night, but I'm going to just read a verse that I read as my text verse Sunday night, talking about joy a minute, in verse number, Psalms 5:11. But let all those that put their trust in Thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy because Thou defendest them. Let them also that love Thy name be joyful in Thee. You know what? Joy comes from depending upon God. Let all, the Bible says all though, that's a very broad term. Let all those that put their trust in Thee. Boy, if you're saved this morning, you put your trust in Thee. The Bible says right here, He's commanding us. He says, put their trust in Thee, in Jesus Christ, in God. Let them ever shout for joy. Shout for joy this morning. Thank God for the freedoms. You ought to be joyous this morning. You may have lost your joy simply because you pulled away from the one who gives ultimate joy, that might give you full joy, the Bible teaches. Hey, you know what? We need to get back to trusting in God. We need to get back into the joy of the Lord again. America's best hope, the only hope for America, is we getting back and putting God in His rightful place, lifting Him up in the place He ought to, in reverence to God, in awe. God, You are so awesome, and getting back to depending on Him. We ought to push our selfish desires out of the way. We need to push our lusts out of the way and get back to depending upon God. Your home has no hope. Maybe your home will not have any hope until you put God back in its center. Your life will not have the hope that you can have, Christian, until you go ahead and maybe you get God back in perspective. You know, you're saved. You're on your way to heaven. But where is God in your life this morning? Are you an example to America this morning? Hey, the hope this morning is in God. It's not in the White House. It's not in the U.S. Senate. It's not in the Congress. It's not in the governor. It's not in a Republican or a Democrat or a Libertarian or an Independent. The hope is not on our influence or our political influence. The hope is not in princes or kings or philosophy. The hope is not in social programs and education. The hope's in God this morning. Our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean upon Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Hey, let me tell you something. Hey, America's hope this morning is for us Christians to go ahead and get excited again about God, and put our hope and faith in the Lord. And just then might be that we can go ahead and have a part in saving this great nation. We need to look beyond the science and technology. We need to go ahead and look upon God, the God of hope. The Bible says, if My people which are called by My name shall humble themselves and pray and seek My face, then. You know what? The responsibility lies on us this morning. It lies on us if we get on our knees and we pray and we turn from our own wicked ways. Let's talk about the Christians. I'm talking about that sin that's kind of pulling you away from what God wants you to be. Hey, if we get on our knees and we repent, then God will say, when the Christians get right, Then I will hear from heaven. I'll forgive their sin. I'll heal their land. Hey, our hope is in God. We need to get back to reverencing God in our life. Then too, America may follow suit. We need to get back to depending upon God in our life. And then too, America may follow suit. And then number three, and I'm through, we need to hope in his unfailing love. Boy, you know what? The love of God is forever. You know, it's immeasurable. The Bible says there in verse number 22 of Psalm 33, let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us according as we hope in thee. You know, hope in this case means to throw ourselves upon the unfailing love of Jesus, upon God. You know, God's love never fails. You know what, we may fail, and we will fail God from time to time. But you know what, God will never fail you. His love will never fail you. People's love may fail you, the world may fail you, but God's love will never fail you. And if America's going to go ahead and become and be the great nation, if we're going to go ahead and be able to say, in God we trust and mean it, we got to hope in the unfailing love of God again. But you know what, Christians, we have the responsibility that we need to tell people about that unfailing love of God. We need to get busy out soul winning and telling people about the lost. You know what, you say, well, preacher, I don't know how to say the words that I need to say about soul winning. Then take a few tracts and why don't you pass some seeds out along the way? You know, that coworker that desperately needs Christ, why don't you go ahead and through a tract transfer the unfailing love of God through a gospel tract and put it in their hands? Hey, you know what? We have the responsibility of getting the plan of salvation out and telling people about the love of God. People turn to crime. The world turns to crime because they have no hope. Oftentimes it is those who long to be accepted by ones who are to care for them. And you know what? There's a lot of people, listen, in this business that I'm in, if you want to call it that, in this career that God has given me, this great career that God has given me, pastoring, you know what? It's amazing how many people I've talked to said, I have no hope. I'm better off dead. I have no hope. But the truth of the matter is, listen to me. Listen to me. You know what? We have the answer for them, folks. And we have the responsibility to go ahead and present to them the only hope. A hope and an unfailing love. You know, depressed folks will turn to drugs, booze, and suicide because they have no one to turn to. You know what? It ought not be said that people can't turn to Faith Baptist Church. It ought not be said that we, as a child of God, they can't turn to us for some encouragement and for some guidance and for some love. We have a God, and we must, as a nation. We have a God that gave us the freedoms, but we must, as a nation, who has turned our back, I believe, upon God. But I believe that if we get excited again, I believe if we do our part, Christian, we can have a part in seeing a great revival come back to this great land of ours. The Bible teaches it, 2 Chronicles 7:14. You read it again, very familiar verse. But if we would go ahead and get on our knees and pray again, it just might be that we can help turn America back to God. That's my desire. We're the Christians. We, being the Christians of this nation, need to spread the hope. The ones that know the Word of God, that hear the Word of God, this is our standard of living. We must open up the Bible, the book that offers all hope, and tell a dying world about a Savior. A nation about that hope. Tell a nation about that hope that can revive us again. During the dark days of the American Revolution, when the Continental Army had experienced several setbacks, a farmer who lived near the battlefield approached Washington's camp unheard. Suddenly his ears caught an earnest voice raised in an agonizing prayer. On coming nearer, he saw it. It was the great general down on his knees in the snow, his cheeks wet with tears. He was asking God for assistance and guidance. The farmer crept away and returned home. He said to his family, it's going to be all right. We're going to win. What makes you think so? His wife asked. Well, said the farmer, I heard General Washington pray out in the woods today. Such a fervent prayer I've never heard before. And God will surely hear and answer that kind of praying. And you know what? if we're going to go ahead and have the nation and have the freedoms. You know what? If we can get on our knees, bend a knee, push our things out of the way that takes us from our time with God, and we would bend a knee, and we would fervently pray and earnestly pray like a General Washington, then you know what? Our nation's going to be okay. If you, let me just say this, Mama and Daddy, if you would go ahead and bend your knee for that child that God has given you the responsibility to raise for the cause of Christ, that boy, that girl, them children, maybe multiple children in your home, if you would go ahead and you take time and you bend the knee and you pray over them, you pray a hedge of protection about your children, then you know what? We might just be able to raise another generation of preachers, of soul winners, of faithful church attenders that will raise their family doing the same thing you're doing right now, praying and getting them in church, teaching them the Word of God. And you know what? America will remain free then. Everything will be all right. Hey, you know what? We certainly live in a great nation. The very best I could, I went ahead and I wanted to wish this great nation a happy birthday. So I close with this little thought, happy birthday, America. To keep the candles of your birthday cake of freedom burning bright. Happy birthday, America. May your 340,000 churches, that's part of us, continue to offer hope and salvation to the lost and downtrodden. May they serve as a moral and spiritual oasis in the desert of unrighteousness. Happy birthday, America. May your eagle, the symbol of power, strength, and independence, remember that even she is a creation of God. Happy birthday, America. May your citizens forsake all their independent spirit enough to look to the Lord God Almighty for their inner freedom that only He can give. And happy birthday, America. May the motto found on all of our coins, "In God We Trust," may that motto be forever emblazoned on the hearts and minds of your people. Happy birthday, America. Yesterday, we celebrated 233 years of this great freedom, of this great nation's freedom. You know, I just wonder, Christian, when was the last time? This is not a weird prayer, by the way. But when was the last time that you bowed a knee and you thanked God for your freedoms? When was the last time that you bowed a knee and you thanked God for the men and women right now that are fighting for your freedoms? When was the last time you said, "God, thank you for this great nation"? When was the last time? It might be if we become thankful again. I do believe, again, as Alex de Tocqueville found, he found the secret to America in the behind the pulpits, in the churches, who has boldly preached the Word of God and preached righteousness. And if we as the church would go ahead and get excited about God again, if we as a church would go ahead and get thankful about God again, thankful for what He's done for us again, God just might salvage this nation. And again, you refer back to 2 Chronicles 7:14. You read it. You put it in your heart. And God promises, "I'll hear you, heal your land. There's a few things that needs to be taken care of." Maybe, Christian, today there's something in your life. Maybe there's some sort of sin in your life. You only know. I don't know. Maybe the Holy Spirit just is dealing with you about some things in your life. Maybe you're not the example of an American that you should be. I'm talking about a Christian American that you should be today. Maybe there's some things you need to deal with. Maybe here today you say, "Preacher, I don't even know the ultimate freedom, which is Jesus Christ." The Bible says in John 8:32, "The truth will set you free. The truth will make you free." Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." You want ultimate freedom this morning? It's through Jesus Christ. Maybe here today you don't have the ultimate freedom that a Christian can have. You're bound by sin. You don't know for sure you're on your way to heaven. Won't you settle that today? And I'm going to close and say to this great land of ours, happy birthday, America. Our Heavenly Father, the very best I could, I gave my heart this morning to your people. God, we are a blessed nation. And God, you know my heart. I love this nation with all my heart. And help me as a preacher to forever preach strongly your word. May I always be mindful of the freedoms that we have. And God, may we all here be always mindful of the freedoms that we have. God, I think of our men and women, brave men and women who are fighting for our freedoms right now. I pray you'd keep them safe. I pray, God, that you'd bring them home to their family safely so they can be a family again, be with their beloved sons and daughters and their wives and their moms and dads. I pray, dear God, that we'd be mindful again of our freedoms. God, thank you for the freedom that we have. God, thank you for the freedom that we have through your Son, the spiritual freedom. The day that we got saved, we became the bondage of sin was dropped, and we thank you for that through the blood of your precious Son. I pray, dear God, that you bless this invitation. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. I won't embarrass you in any way, shape, or form. You know that. But maybe you're a Christian, you're a child of God today, but maybe you're looking at your patriotism this morning as a Christian. Maybe here today you say, preacher, I know I'm saved, but there's some things in my life that I need God to deal with. I need to do some business with God. Would you just raise your hand? I won't call you by name, but that's me. Would you please pray for me? That's me. I got some things in my life. You know, I'm not necessarily the example I should be as an American, but that's me. Would you please pray for me? That's it. Anybody else? Anybody else? You may put your hands down. Maybe here today you say, preacher, I don't have the ultimate freedom. That's salvation by grace through faith. Maybe here today you don't know Jesus as Savior. You need to be saved, and you need to know for sure. You don't know for sure you're on your way to heaven, but you need to know the truth, because the truth, which is Jesus Christ, will make you free. You're like that today. I don't know Jesus as my Savior, but today I want to be saved. That's me. Would you raise your hand? I won't call you by name, but would you please pray for me? Our Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for this time. Thank you for this invitation. In Jesus' name, our heads about our eye. Cliff, this fine young man is going to come close us in prayer this morning. Thank you.
Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, thank you for today. Thank you for the great country that you've given us. Thank you for preachers like Pastor Weeks who come up and proclaim your truth. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would bless the rest of the day and bring us back safely tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.